Beginning in verse 16.
Oh, you can't see that one. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you should. Can you see? Amen.
Maybe we'll start with verse 13.
Yeah.
It's a very practical word.
Mm-hmm.
Maria.
We can read it together. How about that? 13 to the end.
Right.
13 to the end. Oh, wow.
They want to record you.
Oh.
For you, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. All of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you like and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. But I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Amen.
Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen. Amen, Lord. You know, we Christians, as the Word of God says here, we were called to liberty. Liberty. God has given us so much freedom.
Amen.
Freedom is a very precious thing. Actually, it's very precious. And also, it is very precious because God will never force you as a Christian. Now look at the people in the world. People in the world, they can despise him, they can ignore him, they can even oppose him. And God did not react. Suppose somebody opposes you, I think immediately you will react. Not just somebody, even a brother or sister in the church life that says something about you immediately. Hey, why did you say that? Immediately you'll react. Right. But our God is not like that.
Right.
God is such a great God. And especially in this age, in the New Testament age, it's the age of grace.
Amen.
Because our wonderful God desires that all men will be saved. And he gave everyone liberty.
Amen.
You have 70, 80, 90 years of your life. So God would think, okay, maybe right now you'll oppose me. I'll give you another 20 years to see. Hopefully you will turn. And after 20 years, if you still will not repent, well, maybe another 25 years. So when you're 75, maybe God think, if John turns 75, maybe he'll be wiser and turn. And still not.
Oh, Lord.
75, so I'll give you another 20 years. How about 95.
Oh, Lord. Jesus.
You know, our God is a patient God.
Yes.
A wonderful God. But then, if you still will not turn, one day when he comes back, there's judgment. But as long as you are on this earth, you have a lot of liberty. But that does mean that God agreed, right? And he may not agree with you, but he will give you a chance. But you, on the other hand, you don't give other people a chance. Even in the President of the United States, you remember Clinton? 3 strikes and you're out. Right? You remember one time Peter asked the Lord Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Well, he thought 7 times is very, very good already, right? Suppose I offended you once, you said, okay, don't do it next time. Then I did it again, the second time. And the third time and the fourth time, I think by the fifth time, you will say, forget it. You're hopeless. And Peter thought, well, 7 times will be great. Lord, what do you think? 7 times. Well, he thought, maybe the Lord will say 7 times. Well, that's pretty good. The Lord says, no, Peter. How many times?
70
times 70. 490 times. Can you forgive somebody 490 times?
That's a year and 3 months every single day.
Wow. That's a year and 3 months every day. How about that?
Oh, Lord.
So you can say, you can really see how merciful is our God.
Amen.
He's a God of mercy. And he has given us much liberty, even as a Christian today. The Lord has given us much liberty. And in the church life, we should really appreciate this.
Amen.
You know, if there's one thing that I experience concerning this living God, is that he never forced me to do anything. Even in the book of Genesis, when Eve was being tempted. Suppose you were God, you saw this serpent coming into the Garden of Eden. What would you do?
Crush its head.
You would tell Michael, shoot an arrow into the serpent's head.
Yeah.
Kill it right away.
Exactly.
Right? Take care of that. Right, you're going to do that. But no, he was willing to take the challenge. Because God is so great. God is so great. He's not afraid. And so before the foundation of the world, God has already prepared Christ to be the Lamb, the sin offering. Because he knew what was going to happen. So today, the Lord is not going to force you as a Christian. He's not going to force you. For this reason, in all these years, when I was much younger, I like, do this, brother. Come on, do it. Study the Bible every day and pray every day. You have to pray every day, huh?
You still do that. You still remain us to pray every day.
You still do that. And if somebody didn't do it, you're not a good brother. we like to do that.
Yeah.
But our God is not like this.
Yeah.
If you want to come to him, praise the Lord. Of course, His desire is for you to go to Him, but if you will not, He will not force you.
Right.
Our God gives us so much liberty.
Amen.
But Paul says here, do not misuse your liberty. So unfortunately, so many Christians today just misuse the liberty. I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can. But you have to remember, if you walk according to the flesh and do so many fleshly things, when the Lord comes back and set up His millennial kingdom on this earth, you will have no part in it. You'll have no part. That's what He says here in chapter 5. I warn you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. 21,
yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Verse 21. The kingdom of God today is His church. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The church on earth represents His kingdom.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes.
That's why the Lord told Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of the heavens.
Right.
Whatever you bind on earth shall be what is bound in heaven.
Amen.
And whatever you lose on earth shall be what has been loosed in heaven.
Amen.
So the church today, when the Lord said, I will build my church. The church is not just a man's organization. It's not just a place where you go Sunday morning to have a service and then go home. The church is God's kingdom.
Amen.
It's not man's organization. So not just a religious organization. This is man's work.
Oh, Lord.
But what happened today? Look at the Christians. They can choose whatever they like.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they like. This book, actually, is our constitution. Whatever we do in a church life must be according to the Word of God. You cannot do whatever you like. But nobody is here to pressure you, to force you, no. Because God desires to use the way of love to gain you. Remember, the church is also the bride of Christ. The bride. Right. You cannot gain a bride by putting a pistol in her head and says, marry me. Cannot force somebody to love you, to marry you, right? If somebody doesn't want to marry you, you get a pistol. Marry me. The way the Lord wants to gain us is by His love.
Amen.
That is why so many Christians, they really love the Lord. And all the commandments given in the Old Testament is not to force you to do it. That's why Paul says, the summary of all the laws and commandments is, number one, you love God with your whole heart. And number two, you love the neighbor as yourself. God's kingdom, God's church is built by love.
Amen.
And this love comes from the life in the Spirit. So if you don't have that Spirit, you don't have love. Right? So, here in Galatians chapter 5, let us turn back. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom. Wonderful, you were called to freedom. Those who are not saved, they are like a slave to sin. You were bound by so many things. But through the salvation, the Lord freed you. So you're no longer a slave to the flesh, a slave to sin, a slave to so many things. And here it says, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Today, look at democracy. There's freedom. Democracy is very good. But it can be misused at the end. My goodness. Even the criminals have their liberty. The right, a human right to mine. Everybody's claiming their rights. They're misusing the freedom. So we Christians too, we also would be doing the same thing, right? But Paul said, but through love,
amen,
serve
another.
One another.
Amen. Amen.
In all these years in the church life, I realize that the most wonderful expression of this divine life within us is love. Is love. I have seen so many people talk about life. Life this, life that. But I don't see the expression of this life, which is love. Which is love.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Without love, you just talk about life. It's just a doctrine. The very expression of this life is love. So, here in Galatians, Paul says, through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Can you imagine? It is very simple to fulfill the law. If you love, will you? If you love your parents, if you love your brothers and sisters, will you steal from them?
No.
Why? Oh, because Moses says, "Thou shalt not steal." Oh, I shouldn't steal. But you know, you may know the law, but your hands will be itchy. And when there is an opportunity, still, oh, nobody's looking. To know is one thing. To perform and do according to the law is another thing. If you don't have love, you will covet. Honor your mother and father. If you don't have love, you won't honor. So love is very important. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love your wife, you will not commit adultery. So love is a key. But where does this love come from? It comes from the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is poured out and dwells in you, you're born again. The life, the divine life of God enters into us and dwells there. And it is through this Spirit of life that is within you, you can love.
Amen.
You can love your friends, your brothers, sisters. You can love the saints in the church life. Otherwise, I will have a lot of trouble. You may be right, but you don't have love. So at the end, whatever is right will just kill people. I've seen that again and again and again so many times. In the New Testament, the scribes and Pharisees, they are the experts in the scriptures. They know the Bible. They've been reading it, preaching it, teaching it there, but they're not practicing it. Because they didn't have the life. And because they didn't have the life, they didn't have the love. But look at the Lord Jesus. When he was on this earth, he was the Prince of Life. In fact, he was the living God. In him was life. And he is also the very expression of this life, which is love. And he says, no greater love than this, You can never see any greater love than that, than what? Than Him, the Lord Jesus, laying down His soul life for us. Mm-hmm. He died on a cross for you. Yeah. You're willing to tell me, John, do this. Right? Do that. Don't do this. Behave yourself. But you're not willing to die for me. You're not willing to die for me. I appreciate what our brothers shared when we were having dinner tonight together. Which pastor is willing to die for you? But the Lord, as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, He didn't just come to teach, He came to die for you.
Amen.
He laid down His life for you.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Many times we like to teach others, but we are not willing to die for others. Mm-hmm. We're not willing. In fact, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. After I teach you, you don't listen, forget it, get lost. Get lost. Don't come again. I don't want to see you anymore, okay?
Oh, no.
But in the church life, it is not this way.
Amen.
Don't use the law. Use love. Amen. Use love. For the law is fulfilled in one word, in that it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
You know, there are 10 commandments, you all know. The first 5 is toward God. If you love God, you will not worship the idols. They are not God, those idols. You will not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. He is a living God. And He is our real Father, our Creator. So you have to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul even, with your whole mind and strength. You believe in Him, but you don't really love Him. To believe is very easy and simple. I believe. But God's desire is not just for you, Nelly, to believe in Him, but for you to love Him.
Amen.
And not just to love Him a little bit, but to love Him what? How?
With the whole heart.
With Amen. All my heart.
Amen.
With all my heart. Because He's worthy. He's worthy. Nothing else is worthy for you to love with your whole heart. Even your parents. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't love your parents. But the Lord says, if you love your father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Who is greater? God, the living God, or your parents? But in the law it says, honor your father and mother. Why? Because if your father and mother that you can see, you don't even care for them, you don't honor them, I don't believe you can honor the living God whom you cannot see. You may have just a religious fear of God, just like the Jews. But to say they love God, no. You remember the Lord says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is what?
Far away from me.
Their heart is far away from me. So God is really worthy of our love. So the first 5 commandments is toward God. Toward God. And the way to fulfill those 5 is you love God. If you love this wonderful God, living God, it's no problem for you to keep the first 5 commandments. But the next 5 is toward your neighbors. So the Ten Commandments, the law, is summarized in two laws. Number one, you love God with your whole heart.
Amen.
And number two, you love your neighbor as yourself.
Jesus.
So in the changed life, it's not enough just to love God. And if you love God, you will also love your neighbor. That's what 1 John tells us.
Right.
And Paul says, if we don't have love in the church life, we are going to bite and devour one another. And at the very end, we will be consumed by one another. How about that?
Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
The church is built up by this wonderful love, but this wonderful love comes from the life in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. Let us go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 is a very basic chapter. When you are saved, you receive the Lord Jesus. Of course, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and you're born again. And verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint you. Why? Because, let's read it together, the love of God,
God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us.
Amen.
This is very precious.
Although,
this is very precious. I really enjoy this point because I realize that the very unique expression of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is not power. We all like power, right? A lot of people like power. Don't you like power? Oh, powerful preacher, everybody will be, wow, this brother from Germany, my goodness, what a young man, wow, powerful. They all like power. Everybody likes power. It makes you look so powerful and great. And that's not what the Holy Spirit really wants to give you. The power. Yes, we do have the power. But the power of the Holy Spirit is not toward the brothers and sisters. To show you how powerful I am. You know, listen to me. Do you know who I am? Listen to me. Huh? Don't you know I'm the pastor here? You know, recently, just where was it? In Vancouver, Yizong. He was telling me in Surrey, he went to so many groups. And 10 years he went to so many groups. And every group there's been trouble after trouble. And one pastor, he was really wrong. And finally, the saints, the brothers and sisters in that group just couldn't stand it anymore and told him, you're wrong. You know what he says? I'm the pastor here. I represent God. How dare you talk like this to me? Oh, goodness. How can people be like that? So, that was the last group, I think. That was the last group he visited, and he says, forget it. Forget it. So, the main thing, especially for the building up of the church, that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, is to pour out the love of God into your heart.
Amen.
The love of God into our heart. People seek for gifts, speaking in tongues, healing, power. knowledge, seeking for so many outward things, but nobody is seeking really to love the things, to love one another. This is what we need in the church life today.
Amen.
No wonder John said, God is love.
Amen.
He who doesn't love his brothers, or who does not love, he does not know God. For God is love.
Amen.
And that's why when we turn back to Galatians chapter 5, Paul showed us the way, how to have this love. But I say, walk in the Spirit, or by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. This is wonderful. This is the unique way. This is the way that you can really have this love. Many years and past years, I think nobody talks about walking by the Spirit more than we in the churches in the past 40 years. But it's just doctrine. Doctrine. Don't just remain in the doctrine. And Paul is telling us, how do I know that you are really walking by the Spirit? Because you know the Bible so well. Can you memorize chapter 5?
Probably.
Whoa, he must be in the Spirit. He could memorize chapter 5. But you know, he just has a good German mind. Yeah. That is not the Spirit.
That's right.
That is not a Spirit. You've been studying all your life. And now doing your PhD. So you got a good mind. So you're reading Galatians chapter 5, you can memorize it. But that doesn't mean that you're in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, there must be an evidence. Yes. Today, I don't look at how you talk and how you give a message. I don't like to see that. I want to see how you live. I want to see how you live. Paul said, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is knowledge, teaching, power, authority. No? Huh?
Doctrine.
How about that? What else? Healing.
Healing. Tongue-speaking.
Tongue-speaking. Gifts. Are those the fruit of the Holy Spirit?
No.
What does your Bible say?
Love.
Love, really?
Amen.
Love?
Love.
What else?
Joy.
How come you always have long face at home? Now tell me the truth. How much joy do you have in your daily life? How about in the family? You have joy. How about at work, in the office? Do you have joy? Go ahead. What else?
Peace.
Peace. You have peace with everybody in the church life or just with those who you like? Peace.
Amen.
Peace. What else?
Long suffering.
Wow. This is long
suffering.
Many times we just couldn't stand some brothers and sisters. We just have no patience. Unfortunately. What else?
Kindness.
You have no sympathy. You have sympathy with people. But the Lord was on this earth. He was really kind to everyone. He was kind to everybody. What else?
Goodness.
And then?
Faithfulness.
Wonderful qualities. These are wonderful qualities of life.
Amen.
Of life.
Oh, Lord.
Amen. If you have love, then you will be gentle with the people you love, right? This is really true. And then, what?
Self-control.
This is very difficult. Self-control is perhaps the hardest quality of our character. Self-control. Lord Jesus. Again, such
There is no law.
Because you don't need to tell them, oh, do this, or be patient. No need. No law. You don't need any law to tell a patient person to wait. Just wait. They'll give you a chance, 1, 2, 3, 20, 30 chances. How many chances did the Lord give you in your whole life? Every day. Did the Lord forgive you your mountains of sin, right? Or do you just have a little pile of sin? How big is the pile of your sin?
Pretty big.
Mine is higher than the Alps. Canadian Rockies. And the Lord forgave all of my sins. But what about if a brother sinned against you, offended you 3 times? 10 times? Okay. 100 times. How big is that pile compared to your pile before God? And you're not willing to forgive and forget. How are you going to face the Lord? You cannot face
Him.
That is why Paul here in the book of Galatians, he's not talking about outward qualities. He's talking about the life. All of these, the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us here, has something to do with our daily human living in our life. Because this is what we need in the church life. And this is the fruit. Fruit comes out of life. So, 生命. 是长出来的，不是做出来的，是长出来的。外面的工作你可以做，做了很多工作，但是是死的，不是生命的。It's not life. We do a lot of works. Doing a lot of works, you don't need life. But to bear a fruit, you need life. Without life, you cannot bear any fruit. You know, that chair next to you, Maria, it will never bear fruit. Because it's not life. But something that is living will bear fruit. Fruit of eternal life. And all of these wonderful qualities comes out of a person living by the Spirit, walking daily by the Spirit. Actually, it's not just the church life, it is your daily life.
Amen.
Your daily life, my daily life.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And in our daily living, if we are not bearing this fruit, then how can the church bear this fruit when we come together? Mm-hmm. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Not possible. So today you have two ways of living. You can live yourself in the flesh, Or you can live by the Spirit. You have a choice. And you have the liberty to choose. Sometimes I wish God will force me instead of giving me liberty. And if I do something wrong, there'll be thundering, lightning. Yes, yes. <okay. laughs> I will do it. Would you prefer God to do that?
Sometimes, yeah. I agree.
But unfortunately, it doesn't do that. You have the liberty to choose every day whether you want to walk by the flesh, do what you like to do, you have the liberty, certainly. Or do you choose, because you love God, you choose to live by the Spirit.
Amen.
But you know, to live by the Spirit is really 100,000, 1,000,000 times more wonderful than living by the flesh and according to the flesh. Mm. Don't you think so?
Oh, yes.
You don't think so? Mm. Oh, certainly I think so. Of course. To live by this wonderful life. And if you want to live by this wonderful life, you will experience the cross of the Lord.
Mm. Amen.
Because our flesh stands in the way most of the time. That's why Paul says, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is not talking about just belonging in a doctrinal way. Hmm. You belong to him, meaning you realize your life is his. He paid the price. You are not your own. He is the master. You belong to the Lord. You do what he says. Why call him Lord? The Lord said one time to the Jews, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I said? Why call me Lord? So who is the Lord? He or you? So when you're calling Lord, are you calling him or are you the Lord? Who is the Lord? You call him Lord, but you always do whatever you want. So who is the Lord? So maybe when you're calling the Lord, you're calling yourself. Because you do whatever you want. So who is the Lord? And here, Paul said, now those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. He didn't say, those who belong to the Lord must crucify. You must, brother. You must. Do it. Do it. They have crucified. Why? Because they love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you will put the flesh. Just leave it on the cross. Amen, Lord. I have been crucified. But if you don't love the Lord, you may have the doctrine, a nice doctrine, but you will not do that. Then the next verse, verse 26, it's 9 o'clock, and I don't want to keep you all so long here tonight. Verse 25, I'm sorry.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
This verse simply means,
oh Lord,
since, or if the Spirit dwells in you, and now you have the Spirit, since you have this life in your spirit, it's not enough. Since you have it, you should also walk in it. That means some people have it, but they don't walk by it. John has a watch, but he never wears it. true. I know him. He's my son-in-law. He has a watch, but he never wears it.
Hardly. I don't know if he wears it today. Nothing, no watch. You see, I know he has a watch, but he doesn't wear it. Now, you have a spirit, but you don't walk by the spirit. Then what's the use of it? You're born again. The Holy Spirit is within your spirit. Since you have the Spirit, but you don't walk by the Spirit. You still walk according to the flesh. So, what for? What did the Lord give you the Spirit for? He has a watch, but I don't know where he puts it. In the safety box or something like that. Hey, what's the use of having a watch? So you tell him, what time is it? Oh, wait, I'll go home and open my safety box. You know, maybe the battery is dead.
Maybe.
The Lord strengthens my spirit.
Well, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your spirit, but you never use it. You don't care, you don't live by the Spirit. And when He speaks to you, you just put it aside. You don't follow Him, you don't learn to obey Him, you don't walk.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
When He tells you not to do something, you still do. If He tells you to do something, you have to forget it. I'm busy. This is the problem today. The Spirit is not just for you to possess. It's for you to walk by. You learn to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
You live Christ. If we all live like this, no problem, the church will be built up. But if we just have the doctrine of Galatians 5, you can forget it. It's not going to work like that. One day you meet Paul. Paul will say, I didn't write Galatians for you to hold a conference, John. I write Galatians for you. To know how to walk by the Spirit, not for you to give a message and a conference to other people. This is why we have this book. And if we bear such a wonderful fruit in our daily walk, the church life will be wonderful, build up. And that is why in chapter 6, verse 1, we end up the fellowship with this verse. Brethren, and if a man is caught, overtaken in any trespass,
you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
That's a wonderful verse. Don't think, I'm so strong. How come you're like this? Toby, what kind of a brother are you? Are you saved? As if I'm infallible. Never considered my own mistake. I will consider your mistake. Never consider my own mistake. This is not right. This is not right. Then that means, for me, it's just a doctrine to condemn other people. I don't, myself in me, I don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, brethren, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of authority. No?
No.
The spirit of what?
Gentleness.
And where does this gentleness come from?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit. But if you don't have that fruit, what are you going to use to help me? The German finger. You know, Germans like to point their finger. This is very typical German. I lived there for many years. German. If we do that all the time in the church, you will not build up. You will destroy it. With a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, considering your own. Think about yourself a little bit. Lest you too will fall into the same mistake. We are all prone. Then, verse 2. Bear
one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ.
What is the law of Christ? Which is in love. Love one another. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
So, we'll stop here tonight.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Lord.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Help us by your Holy Spirit indwelling us.
Amen.
That together we might really be the living expression of your life.
Amen.
Here in the church in Toronto.
Amen.
Oh, may you, Father, be glorified.
Amen.
And be well pleased.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We want to bear much fruit in the Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
I pray that you would make this word so living in us, Lord.
Amen.
That we can see this in all of us, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Save us from using ourselves to build the church.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that it would be completely by the Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, even in our daily life, Lord, reveal to us how to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to just have the Spirit but not use it.
Run.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray that every one of us will bear this wonderful fruit.
Amen.
Right, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Oh, may we choose life.
Amen.
Amen.
May we all choose to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, do save us from living a life of just the knowledge.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, save us from saying that we know.
Mm.
Oh, Lord, may we learn to turn to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to apply you in our daily life.
Amen.
We do want to experience the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Make this a reality in our daily life.
Yes. Amen.
That your church here could express the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, finish the job in all of us today.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah, we praise you, Lord. There's no condemnation.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, Lord, praise we repent, Lord. Yeah, from walking in our flesh.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord, but we need to experience your Spirit, Lord.
Amen.
We need
Amen.
To touch you, otherwise we can't change, Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, yeah, please appear to us.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
Amen.
God. Amen.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
To us. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Shall we sing a song?